Happy Monday to you and welcome back to the Drivecast. My name is Dean. I'm the lead pastor at LifePoint. I do the majority of teaching at our Lewis Center campus. And this past weekend, we started a brand new series looking at the Lord's Prayer. And one of the things that we talked about is how that everything good in our lives really is downstream from our relationship with the Father. So it makes the concept of prayer so critical in our lives. And I think that's why Jesus introduces the prayer with a couple of how not to's, right? He says, don't pray like the hypocrites. And we just said, you know, that for all of us, as soon as we start talking about prayer, there's a little bit of hypocrite factor, right? We all have a little bit of prayer guilt, right? About the ways that we ought to pray or the ways that we're not praying or the amount of time. But one of our hopes for this series is that we're just going to make this shift from a time of prayer every day to really a life of prayer. And so to make that shift, Jesus says, hey, here's two things prayer is not. Number one, prayer is not, it's not an audition, right? He says, listen, the people, right, your leaders, they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners. And we said that there in his day were people that like to pray loud and long. But Jesus said, that's not how to do it. He said, you go into your closet and you pray in secret, and your Father who's in secret rewards you. So I don't think that means that we never pray publicly. I just means think it means that we should pray privately, right? That we don't pray for the attention of others. We're really praying for the affection, right, with our Father. The second thing he says is don't heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do. And they, you know, the Gentiles had all these recitations they would make to their idol gods. And he said, listen, it's not a lot of words. That's not what does it. It's not a recitation. So prayer is not an audition. Prayer is not a recitation. So what is it? Jesus starts the most well-known prayer from the Sermon on the Mount, certainly, and the most well-known sermon in the Bible with these two words, Our Father. We talk about the core value of spiritual intimacy a lot. Spiritual intimacy, we say, means that we are His. And I think Our Father, those two words may be the most radical words Jesus ever spoke, right? Their culture, they only thought of God as so high. They wouldn't even speak His revealed name, Yahweh, in the Old Testament. And Jesus comes along and he says, call him Father. And that's the word for Abba, right? Or that's the word Abba, which is our word for dad. It's the tender word. So, you know, everybody has a father, right? That's just biology. But not everybody has a dad. And when you start talking to God as a dad, right, the relational depth begins to determine the depth really of the requests that you make to him, the intimacy that you have with him. It's not a business relationship. We talked about the difference between a business relationship, which is what I do. You do these things, I do these things, right? We think about God like a landlord where, you know, we pay the rent, God maintains the room. It's like this goods and services exchange. But a family relationship is really based on who I am, right? It's something that you're born into. You know, when you think about your family, there are certain things, right, that you'll let your family get away with that you won't let anybody else get away with. So a business relationship is conditional, but a family relationship is unconditional. So the whole question, I think, really for us for this week was more about why don't we seek this level of intimacy with God like the good Father that He is? And to put it simply, we cannot authentically relate to God as Father in our lives and simultaneously deny His authority in our lives. In other words, we want to be close enough to God for Him to save us, but not so close that it changes us. Now, the problem with that is the next phrase in the prayer. It's not just our Father, it's our Father in heaven. So we tend to want to quarantine God to this place where we get near Him, but not so close that we let Him affect us or change us. And here's how you kind of know. Do you have a business relationship with God or do you have a family relationship with God? What happens when your prayers don't get answered the way you pray them? The tendency is to get cold or anxious. You get cold because you say, hey, God, I've been paying the rent here, right? I show up on Sundays. I drop a dollar in the box every now and then. You should be answering my prayers. Or you get anxious because you haven't been paying the rent, right? What happens to people who don't pay the rent? They avoid the landlord. But a Christian says, no, Jesus came from heaven to earth, died on a cross, paid for my sins. He lived the righteous life that I should have to live. He died a sinner's death that I should have died. So there's this ease to their prayers because God has made them worthy. They're warm, like talking to a dad. The biblical basis of prayer is our adoption into God's family. In John 17, when Jesus prayed that high priestly prayer, verse 23, he finished with this phrase, God, I'll love them as you have loved me. It's unbelievable to think that the God of the universe loves us the way that he loves Jesus. That's what Jesus prays for. There's a verse that we talked about, 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. There should be some kind of a behold in our lives when we pray. There should be a sense of behold in our Christian lives, right? And we can test ourselves. Are we a renter or a child, right? Are you a Christian because you're his child? Or are you a renter? You're just afraid of what could happen to you after you die. The implication from today, I think, is Isaiah 62, right? Isaiah says, bother him. Give him no rest until he makes Jerusalem the praise of all the earth. You look at the aggressive way that people prayed in Scripture, people like Abraham and others, right? Isaiah says, bother him. So in this series, I'm challenging us to pray twice as much, three times as much, more than you've ever prayed normally, because communication is the lifeblood. It is the lifeblood. Communication, prayer, talking to God is the lifeblood of your faith. So we talked about attaching prayer to a recurring event to create a spiritual habit, whether that's meal time, shower time, commute time. Listen, bother him. Give him no rest. Think about, what if you gave God the first 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes of your day? Think about, you have 35 days until Easter Sunday. Well, who's one person you can pray for every day for 35 days in a row that God will bring them, that he will bring them to Easter, to bring them to himself? He is your Father. He's full of unconditional love. This is not a conditional relationship. You're not a renter. You've been adopted as his child. It's who you are. We are his. So I'm going to pray that for us today and then give you the opportunity to pray as you start your day. God, we're grateful to be your child. We're grateful that there's this sense of behold, that we don't deserve it, but you've given us sonship. You've given us daughtership, even though, God, we know that we didn't do anything to earn it. And so, God, today we lean into that reality that you're a good father and that we trust you. And that no matter where we are circumstantially, whether it's a high water moment, low water moment, high tide, low tide in our lives, that God, we are your children. We know your word. We know what you said. So God, we pray today for the people that are in our lives, for the privilege that you've given us to know you, that we would live from that space today. Now you take the opportunity to pray.